Good morning. So did y'all know that next week is Watts? Okay, just making sure. We've announced it last week. We announced it now already this morning, but I want to mention a few other things with it, just because, you know, it is a different day. It's not just normal, hey, go through Sunday routine, which I understand whenever anything changes in your Sunday routine, it kind of explodes everything else, and that's just how it works. But just wanted to remind you of the three different places, and the reason and rationale for that is an effort. And it's an effort to remind ourselves, really, what Watts has always been about, what it's meant to be about, is not just serving people, but also sharing the good news with people. In that regard, I want to make you aware of something that we have available for that, and this right here is a Bible. I know it's a crazy concept, but it is it's put on by World Bible School. Most of you are probably familiar with their efforts of teaching, using material to teach students all over the world. And some of you are some teachers in that, and we thank you for your service, even for many years, some of you. But this is a really cool thing that they put together. It's English Standard Version Bible that has kind of partial study in the back of what they work through and some great helps throughout it. But it's a really nice looking Bible. It's leather bound, or at least faux leather, I'm really not sure. But we can get it at a great price, and so we bought about 100 of them, and I expect next week to need to buy some more for other efforts, because what these are for is to give to people. If they need a Bible, if they don't have access to one, I want you to know we got these to hand out to make sure that people have access to Bibles. So a group of these are going to be going to Rosa Hill, a group will be going to North Texas Youth Connection. But as well, if for any of the efforts that you are involved with, if you want to throw a Bible in, if you've run across someone and have a great conversation with them and said, you know what, keep the Bible, just take it with you. That is a great, great tool for more purposes than one. Obviously, it's a great tool for them to read and to understand. And so, if you are interested with this, there'll be some there in the lobby, but especially next week, that's where we're going to use them heavily. And if we need to buy more, we will be all right with that. That is one thing in the budget we don't have too much problem with. Oh, we need more Bibles? All right, we can do that. And if we do have a problem with it, I'll come back to the congregation and say, hey, give us some money and we'll get some Bibles. Anyway, all of this is an effort. The things going on next week are an effort to serve and be involved in our community. And we have been able to reap some benefits of the relationships that we've had in our community over the past several years through different efforts. And it's fantastic. Things like the stuff, we don't do tons with the school system on Watts, but it has opened up some doors in the school system to where now we might have a call come to us if there's a need in a school. That's great. This is what we're working for, is those relationships, so that when people find themselves in need, they know who to call. And I almost did the Ghostbusters thing, but I'm just going to save that for you. Because it's not them. They need to call on their Lord. They need to call on the people that know Him. Because all this is an effort. When we look out in the community, we believe, as Jesus said, that the fields are white for harvest. That a lot of times we look at and we see this world that, and we may be tempted to think, well, this world is just going downhill fast and there's no saving it. But we believe what Jesus said, is that if we open up our eyes, we're going to see that there are people everywhere that need Him. They need the life-giving message that we have, that we know, and we need to be able and ready to share it so that they get it. That's what we've been talking about this past several weeks, and can I get a witness? It's not just some evangelism strategy where we have the system where we walk through all of these details of it, although that is fine and good. I'm just trying to impart on us the passion in the very beginning to be ready to stand up and proclaim the hope that is within you to anyone that might ask. And maybe some of those who don't ask. Maybe that'll be all right too. The point is, every one of us can tell how Christ has affected us. We need to be able to share that so that Christ can continue to affect others. So this week we're going to be wrapping up our Can I Get a Witness series, talking about helping those and witnessing to those who are in need. This is really those who are hurting, those who are in need. Sometimes we do a fantastic job of witnessing to them. And sometimes we do a fantastic job of helping their needs, but not in witnessing to them. And those two things need to go together. Sometimes the seemingly smallest act of kindness can go a whole long way. Just a tiny little whatever that you might do can open a door for the gospel. And we sometimes forget that. It's kind of like a dad and his son, Jared. Jared and Joe, the father, were playing catch in the backyard one day. And his son's a little curious, and he said, "Dad, is there a God?" Well, Dad hadn't been at church but two times whenever he was a kid, and he just decided to be honest with his son and said, "I don't know." That didn't stifle the son's curiosity. He said, "If there were a God, well, how would we know him?" Again, "I don't know." They played catch for a little bit longer, then Jared all of a sudden had an idea. He was obviously deep in thought, runs into the house and says, "I'll be right back." He comes back with a helium balloon that he'd gotten from the circus just the day before, and a note card and a pen. And before his dad could ask, "Hey, you know, Jared, what you doing?" He's scribbling out a message, and it says, "Dear God, if you are real and if you are there, please send someone that knows you to us." He says, and then he looks at his dad and says, "I'm sending God a letter, airmail." All right. So before the dad could really respond and say, "Hey, I'm not sure this is a good idea," the boy was all ready to do it. And so Joe hoped that at least his boy wouldn't be disappointed. So they sent it off. For 2 days, they heard nothing. But they were in the car together, and as Joe's driving, he looks over and sees car wash line. And he's like, "Hey, we could get a car wash. Some charity group, we can help out. No problem." They pull in, and as they get closer, he rolls down his window. What am I doing? That's not rolling down the window anymore. Roll down the window. What world do we live in? Rolls down the window and asks the attendant, he says, "Hey, how much?" The guy said, "It's free." Now, Joe's intrigued by this, saying, "You don't get anything for nothing. What's the catch?" And he said, the man said, we're from a local church, and we just want to show how much God loves you by serving you with something." Joe couldn't stop the grin on his face because he looked over at his boy, and he realized, wait a second. So he asked a question. He said, "You guys are Christians?" "Well, yeah." He goes, "Like the kind of Christians that believe God exists?" "Yes." You know, I don't know the other kind, I guess, but yes, we are that kind. So he proceeded to tell the story about the helium balloon, his letter, and everything like that, and he said, "I'm pretty sure you guys are the answer to the strangest prayer God has ever had." That church was there simply washing cars, but an open door was ready with a seemingly small act of kindness, just a small gesture. Gesture. Wow, me and my words this morning, I need to watch this. Just a small act of kindness. Just something that was, they were maybe organizing and doing. God was working in someone's heart. Whether it's a small act like washing someone's car, or maybe talking to someone who looks a little lonely, or maybe going and replacing fire alarm batteries, or shoveling someone's snow from their driveway, or raking their leaves, or whatever it might be that we might think this is a pretty small act of kindness. Those things create some open doors that are hard to have any other way. That is what's so impressive about how Jesus can work. Because Jesus can work through some of the smallest, kindest acts that we do for His glory. These little small acts of kindness, I like to call cups of cold water. You know where that comes from, right? It's Matthew 10:42. Says this, "And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." cup of cold water. And in my view, Jesus is basically saying that those who live out and do Christianity the way it was meant to be done in everyday life, you're meeting needs, you're serving people, you're working for the benefit of humankind, those things are great open doors, and you're not going to lose your reward if you go and serve others. And it may seem small. I mean, seriously, in our world, a cup of cold water can still go a long way. We sometimes forget that with how easily accessible it is for us. We're like, oh, this is such a tiny little reward. Yeah, I'll give you a bottle of water even. That'll be better. And we may not think anything more of it, but to that person, we all of a sudden become someone who cares about them. And a door is now open. Sometimes those acts of kindness may seem so small, but they can have a profound impact. Jesus tells a story in Matthew 25 about the judgment scene, which is always what people want to hear about, is you know what the judgment looks like. But Jesus is telling the story in the form of animals. He said, you know, when the end comes, Lord is going to separate everybody into sheep and goats. And to fast forward a little bit, everybody wants to be a sheep. No one wants to be a goat. All right, so that's how the end plays here. But I want you to notice what he tells about the sheep. He talks about what they have done, and he has this praise for them. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. That's what we want, right? That's why you want to be a sheep. The goats don't get that reward. Verse 35, for I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Now, as the story goes, the sheep, those who are the sheep, don't know that they've done all these things. They didn't recognize. They said, Lord, when did we do that for you? And he says, well, when you did it for the least of them, you did it for me. Now, the same kind of story happens with the goats, except they didn't do all these things. The point is, these acts are fairly small. If someone's hungry, like if you know someone is hungry, I would guess that most of you here in this audience, if not every one of you, would find a way to get them some food. You might even just give them $5 to go grab a meal or 10, whatever it might take to get them fed. You might take them in your car to a restaurant. You might invite them over to your house. But if you knew someone was truly hungry, not just trying to scam you or something like that, if you knew they were truly hungry, you'd feed them. No problem. It seems like a small act. If someone was thirsty, come on, which one of us wouldn't just give them a drink, right? It's not hard. These acts may seem so small. They may seem so tiny to us in some ways, but what God is saying through, what Jesus is saying through this parable is saying, those little acts, they mean a lot, both to the person that you served and the king. Because when you serve them, you're serving me. In essence, what Jesus is saying here is go and do what I do. Go and do what I do. Over and over in Scripture, we see Jesus caring for the sick, healing those who need healed, talking to the outcast, bringing them in conversation. Jesus always seems to be concerned about other people. And he tells us, go and do the same. Go and meet people's needs. Go and love them as I love them. Warren Wiersbe is an author that does a lot of stuff to preachers, especially writes a lot of books to that crowd. But he says this, and I love it, in one of his books. He says, lost sinners came to Jesus not because he catered to them or because he compromised his message, but because he cared for them. In other words, lost sinners came to Jesus because Jesus cared for lost sinners. Makes sense, right? Or maybe you've heard the saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You ever heard that? This one was impressed upon me a while back, and it stays in the forefront of my thinking of saying, hey, I need to make sure people know how much I care before they're going to care how much I know. The sheep here were rewarded because they cared. Jesus, going with the Wiersbe quote, people didn't come to Jesus because, well, he was the best preacher in town. Man, he was a really good speaker. He's going to fill up the stadium with people. People didn't come where Jesus was speaking because they had the best song service or because they had the, you know, most in crowd, or they had all the things that we might be looking for whenever we're saying, hey, would you come to church with me? No, people didn't come to Jesus for those reasons. People came to Jesus because Jesus showed that he cared for them. And I'm going to let you in on a little secret. People aren't going to come to church because we have the best preacher in town. I mean, we do, but no, I'm kidding. That's not going to be the reason that draws them. I mean, why would I really want to come and listen to this guy for 30 minutes? I got better things to do with my time. People aren't going to come necessarily because, well, have you heard the singing? Man, we're fantastic. People aren't going to come necessarily for those reasons, but you want to know why they might be interested in coming? It's because you cared for them. You showed them some love. You met a need that they had and said, you know what, this is what my people, my kind of people, God's people, do. And if you want to be a part of that, we'd love to have you join us. That's what has always drawn people to Christ. Not our eloquence of speech. Not our fancy gimmicks. It's our love. That's why Jesus would tell his disciples, he said, the world will know that you are Christians by your love for one another. When we love others, it proves whose we are and what we're about. I read of a story about two men who were serving in a benevolence ministry, and they were delivering food. They got a call from a particular niece to have them deliver some food to their aunt. And so, no problem. They gather the groceries of food and head to the address that they were given. And when they get there, they're a little struck because it's a business of a fortune teller. She must have known they were coming. But they were a little upset, and they went and checked with the church real fast. They called to the church and said, is this right? And they said, yeah, it's right. And they were a little upset because this is a woman that has clearly chosen a profession that God does not smile upon. But they're like, you know what? For the niece's sake, let's do this. So they go into this business, and there's this fortune teller, the lady who says she can speak to the dead. And whenever they show up, she gets so excited and says, you really do help people no matter what they believe, don't you? Well, yes, but we also think that believing is pretty important, believing in the right thing. So they talked a little bit about Jesus, about the faith and the hope that they have in Christ with this group of people that was there for the business of the fortune teller. Well, they ended up dropping their food off and then went over to the niece and said a prayer with her. As the fortune teller and all these customers watched, after they were done with the prayer with the niece, several of the customers there were like, can you pray for us too? After they talked with them a while and prayed over some of them, they just kind of asked, hey, do any of you want to study more about what it means to be a Christian, what that looks like? And eight people from a fortune teller's office decided to continue studying what it looks like to be with Christ. Boy, that's evangelism 101, isn't it? But the thing is, as weird as that may sound, as reluctant as these two men might have been to go in and share with the benevolence, what they proved was that they cared for anybody. And because they cared, the door was open to show what they knew. Those things are tied. See, we need to understand that our service should never stop just as service. When we go out in the community, this is what we've been saying every year we've done Watts. When we go out in the community to serve others, it should never just be about serving them. That is good. We're meeting a need, and that's fantastic. But it should always be something more. Because every one of us has needs, and every one of us needs Savior. And so these two men, continued the conversation by bringing people to Christ, bringing Christ into the conversation. But they were only allowed to do that because they had met had an opportunity, because they met a need. They had opened a door. In John 9, we see Jesus doing the very same kind of tactic. John 9, in fact, Jesus does this everywhere, so this is just an example. John 9, Jesus heals a man who has been blind from birth. You remember the story that the disciples asked Jesus, hey, who sinned? Was it this man or his parents that he was born this way? And then Jesus says, no, neither. That's not how God works. It was born this way so that the glory of God can be seen, which is always an interesting play on words that Jesus is having there, if we're talking about a blind man and then seeing. And then he heals this blind man. This blind man's pretty excited, but he soon meets resistance from the religious leaders of the time. And they come to him and want to know how this has happened, why it's happened, who did it, and why did he do it on the Lord's day? Because everyone knows you can't do works of service on the Lord's day. That was Sabbath then. You can't do that. Why? Why did this happen? Well, the man deals with all of the religious leaders and eventually gets kicked out of their synagogue, their church, because of what has happened to him, which is unfortunate. But Jesus then comes to him. He finds him after this, and he says this in verse 35. Do you believe in the Son of Man? The man answered, who is he, sir? I want to believe in him. You have seen him, Jesus said, and he is speaking to you. Yes, Lord, I believe, the man said, and he worshiped Jesus. Jesus didn't just meet a need by healing the man's sight, although that was a fantastic miracle that he did. The guy was blind, now he sees. We can sing some songs about that. That's fantastic. But he doesn't stop there. See, after the little fiasco with the religious leaders, Jesus comes back to him and says, now let me tell you about the good news of a changed life. Let me tell you about following me, following God. Let me tell you what it really looks like to believe and to live. This is what we are called to do. To go and meet needs of people, but use those as opportunities, as they're presented, as open doors, to not stop with just, oh, good, your needs are met. See you next year. To have that conversation, to walk through the door, if someone's lingering and wanting you to talk to them a little bit, talk to them. Service project can wait if it needs. Spend some time with people, because that's where it's at. That's where Jesus was at. The thing that I've realized is that all of us, we all have different physical or whatever kind of needs. They're all going to be different. The way my needs manifest themselves are going to be very different than other people's needs. And that's fine. There may be ways that you can help me and my family and meet some needs, and that's going to be fantastic. But there's other ways where you'll be able to meet some needs of other people. This is why we spread out over the community. We have projects at Rosa Hill. We have projects at North Texas Youth Connection. We have projects in nursing homes, and they all look different. The reason being is because there's different needs. But every one of us shares the same need. We have a need of Christ in our lives. And as we serve, as we meet needs, we need to be very clear who we do this for. Peter and John were on their way to the temple one day, and they see a lame man on their way to the temple. This man is begging, as the lame and downtrodden would do during this time, especially people on their way to the temple. It would be a good act of service for someone to give a little money. Well, Peter and John see this person in Acts 3, and they look at him, and Peter says, well, look at us. And the lame man looked at them, eagerly expecting some money. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk. And so he does. He gets up, walks, and praises God. Now the story continues where people really want to kind of praise, you know, wow, look at this thing. And Peter is like, this isn't anything new. It's in the name of Jesus. I want you to notice from the very beginning, Peter wants to make it very clear why he's helping. He doesn't look at this lame man and said, oh, you poor soul, let me help you. That's how some of us might think. He doesn't say, oh no, hey, I've got a little bit, let me help you out here. I don't think this is saying that Peter doesn't have any silver or gold on him. Oh man, I'm fresh out, I got nothing for you, I'm sorry. I think this is saying, that ain't going to help you. But in the name of Christ, I can give you something better. In the name of Christ, I can meet a need that is going to have more profound impact than some silver or gold. Peter makes it very clear from the very beginning of serving this person why he is there. Not as some outreach, not as some, oh, you poor soul thing. It's because he serves a God that wants to meet needs. He serves a God that wants to be in people's lives. And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And he does. As we go out, we have great opportunities. Peter used this opportunity to meet this need of this person, and then later on tells this man and the crowds that are around, he tells them, you need to repent of your sins, turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. In other words, Peter uses the opportunity of meeting a need to meet everyone's need by telling them of the good news of giving their life to Christ. These things are connected. We sometimes like to disassociate them. But evangelism and service go hand in hand. They need to, quite often. So as we go out and as we serve, may you remember, people may not care how much you know until they know how much you care. So show them how much you care. Is it just a little or is it a whole bunch? Give them the same kind of care that you've been receiving from Christ Himself. And you're going to have more than enough to go around. And I would imagine that if you care, this is not something that you're waiting on next week for. This is something you've already been involved with, and you're going to walk away today going, what can I do? Where can I get involved? Where can I jump in and care for people? But don't just care. Continue the care to their spiritual need. Continue the conversation whenever it's open, the door is open, so that others may see the hope that is within you. This morning, you may be one of those that has been cared for, or maybe you're one of those that needs some care of the church, whether through some prayers or just some love that we can offer, or maybe even some benevolence. That's fine. I want to let you know that the invitation is always standing more for, not just for those who want to give their life to Christ, although it's always open for that, but those who have a need, those who might be struggling, those who need some love and care. So if you're in that boat and you need some love and care, elders and ministers will surround this auditorium. Come find one of us. Or just hit your neighbor up and say, hey, person you're sitting by, can we pray? We would love to do that. If you have a need, would you let it be known as we stand and as we sing together?